CODA Radio officially hit the airwaves on October 3rd, 1975. Since then, the station has been broadcasting 365 days a year with the support of the local community. Donations from $5 to $5,000 and more keep KOTO Radio financially whole. Over the years, this high-quality, commercial-free, non-underwritten community station has remained dedicated to its original mission to inform, educate, and entertain while reflecting the needs, desires, and diversity of Telluride's extended community. On Wednesday, March 5th, KOTO is hosting a winter fundraising concert at the historic Sheridan Opera House. The event features the pop indie soul sounds of Oh He Dead. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime is 8 p.m. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be talking shop with KOTO FM's Executive Director, Kara Pallone. Kara, thanks for taking time out of your crazy schedule to join me.
Aw, thank you, Susan. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. So let's begin. As one of the very few remaining indie radio stations in the country, KOTO is able to reflect any and all town residents' views without concern for lost funding from unhappy advertisers or underwriters due to airing an unpopular or archly critical opinion. Very appealing, yes. Very, very challenging, also yes. Kara, please talk about why KOTO is determined to buck the trend for outside support and remain indie.
Well, KOTO is nothing if not fiercely independent when it comes to its airwaves and the programming we offer, as most of your listeners know and our listeners know. From the freeform music to our local news, it's what we prioritize. And after a 50-year legacy of existing in this format, I actually think it would do more harm than good if we were ever to introduce underwriting. The fact that KOTO is one of the few community radio stations in the country that doesn't take underwriting is pretty remarkable. Especially in a world where nearly everything has a price, it feels like we have sustained this model that promotes the authentic community voice. It keeps us free from commercial influence, and for a half a century, that's just incredible. And I think it's also just proof that a community can value connection over commerce, and that the simple, uncomplicated joy of shared sound is what is important to us. And it wouldn't be this way without, of course, the folks who founded this station and the commitment and dedication from those who were here from the beginning and that have continued to be involved through the decades, like Ben Kerr and Jumpin' Jan and No Man and Baba Louie and Lucy Reeve and Flying Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. I can go on. They have this unwavering commitment to KOTO, and it's been very inspiring, and as have all of the DJs who are the heart and soul of the radio station. They are who keep KOTO's airwaves pure and funky.
About how many DJs are there today?
We usually say we have approximately 80 volunteer DJs.
Okay, thank you. Now, how much does it take to operate KOTO? Please explain how local donations are deployed towards staff, equipment, maintenance, whatever else.
Sure. So KOTO's operating budget for 2025 is just over $700,000. And local donations that we collect during our fundraising activities, like our on-air pledge drives, events, and other campaigns throughout the year, go toward general operating expenses, such as salaries, office supplies, insurance and utilities, maintenance, all of those things. We also hold a Fiji raffle every winter that raises money specifically for KOTO's equipment fund, and this was crucial last year. We paid for most of the Ridgeway signal expansion with those dollars. And we'll have a Fiji ticket sales event live by the end of February, and the drawing will take place at intermission at Street Dance. So please support that. It goes to a really good cause within KOTO. And we also have investment accounts. So this is somewhat new, and it's thanks to our late co-founder, Jerry Green. He left Kodo a gift when he passed away in 2021. And in 2022, we established the Jerry Green Legacy Fund. It's for the long-term sustainability of the radio station and any major capital projects that could arise in the future. I like to think of it as a gift from Jerry to future stewards of Kodo who will be tasked with keeping this radio station alive after we're gone. And we also have another investment account that acts as essentially reserves in case the wheels come off.
Okay, thank you very much for that answer. So again, enumerate the various ways Kodo goes about raising funds for its operating expenses. And yes, this is a segue into your upcoming event featuring the very groovy Oh He Dead.
We are so excited for that. So Kodo raises funds for operating expenses through grants, fundraising, and events, which, you know, our events don't generally make a ton of money. Ski Swap is pretty much the one that makes the most. Most of them are community engagement events. We generally hold two on-air pledge drives each year, one in the winter and one in the summer. But for our 50th milestone year, we're shaking things up a bit. And we are instead holding a winter fundraising concert on March 5th at the Sheridan Opera House featuring the band Oh He Dead, which we'll talk about. And then we're going to have our big fundraising push in July this year. So we'll have events coinciding with the Telluride Museum's Kodo exhibit and a Live at the Drive block party at Kodo on July 25th featuring Birds of Play. And we'll also have our traditional guest DJ Day celebration that everyone loves so much to kick it all off. So it'll feature DJs and Kodo luminaries through the decades. And we will be asking people to step up big because we're not having our traditional on-air winter pledge drive. We're opting for this concert instead. So essentially, if you buy a ticket to this show on March 5th, you're giving your regular gift to Kodo like you do every year. You're just getting to see some awesome live music with friends at the same time. So go to SheridanOperaHouse.com and get those tickets and come boogie with us on March 5th.
Why did you pick Oh He Dead to showcase as a major component of your winter fundraising? What is the group's appeal to you?
Once we decided that we wanted to do a benefit concert for Kodo this winter and change things up for the 50th year, and probably only this year, we consulted with the professionals, SBG Productions, to help narrow the search and help us find bands that were either touring in the area around March 5th or that fit our budget for the event. And we, as a team, a broadcast team, we got to interview Oh He Dead. It was either during Jazz Fest or Blues and Brews. I think it was Jazz Fest a couple years ago when SBG brought them to Telluride. And they were so much fun. They're just good vibes, joyful, full of creativity and expression, all of the things that Kodo represents in my mind. And we love them as people, and we love their performance on the main stage. And so when we saw that they were on the list as a potential band, I threw it out to staff, and everyone agreed that they would be the first choice. So they are coming to do a Colorado run in early March, and that includes Ophelia's in Denver. And I just found this out, actually. They're doing E-Town Hall in Boulder, which is big time. So that's super cool that they're fitting in a show at the Sheridan Opera House, and I really hope people come and see them and support the band and Kodo.
Just to give credit where credit is due, please say who SBG Productions is.
Oh, sure. That's Steve Gumbel and his team, so the people who produce Blues and Brews and Jazz Fest and the Durango Blues Train and everything, Gay Ski Week, everything they have going on.
Thank you. Now, on to a bit of your personal history with KOTO. Did the station find you, or did you find the station? And what in your background prepared you to run the show at KOTO?
I love this question so much. It's one of those things where you realize after a while, you're like, oh, I work here for a reason. It's because I'm a little different. But anyway, I found the station and I knew very little about it, though when I applied for the news director job back in 2013, I had heard the carpool, where just that's like all I knew about Kodo. I had just moved here, and I heard the carpool where someone could ask for a ride, and they were asking to go to Florida and if they could bring their surfboard, and I thought it was so funny. And then I saw this job ad for a news director, and since I come from a journalism background and worked in newspapers for about a decade before moving to Telluride, I figured, you know, I have the news background, especially community news, and perhaps I could learn the audio or the broadcast portion. So I was hired and I did that job for 6 years. And then I applied for the executive director position at Kodo in the fall of 2019, which was obviously right before the pandemic. So my first full year as ED at Kodo was essentially doing what I knew how to do, which is crisis communications and strategic response. And it was an incredibly fulfilling and purposeful way to start my career as the director at Kodo. And the team during that time, it was just all hands on deck, and we had full motivation to serve the community in the best and most meaningful way possible. And it was also an opportune time to write the heck out of some COVID relief grants. So we were able to get ahead on funding and reserves that year in 2021 or in 2020. And then in 2021, we focused our summer campaign specifically to pay off the mortgage on the Purple House instead of having to do it for general operating. So in a lot of ways, like, COVID was sort of a silver lining for Kodo. You know, we were able to rise to the occasion. We proved our value and our worth, and people have appreciated that. You know, even in post-COVID, it still is something that we're really proud of, the way that we stepped up to serve our community during that time. And yeah, so I mean, besides that, I think what prepared me for this job as the ED is just my professional training as a journalist and my communication skills and ability to write. And other than that, it's just a love and understanding of this organization and a commitment to make decisions with Kodo's best interest at heart and to make sure that everything we do is aligned with our mission. And I've also really had some wonderful mentors, I will say. And just, I love the Kodo community so much. It's like when I started here, I felt like I inherited 80 friends right away. And those people have just become some of my very best friends over the years. But I had a really great support network of mentors, both in board members and other nonprofit leaders in the community and DJs. And it's been, you know, I treasure those relationships. And Kodo has been like the one consistent in my life the past decade plus. So it feels like home.
Terrific. So we've established multiple times that Kodo, it remains committed to raising its Indy flag on high. But in what ways has the station evolved and changed since 1975? And yes, this is the door opening to you to talk about plans for celebrating Kodo's golden anniversary.
Yay. We're 50. Okay, so one of the things that I think is important to note is that Kodo's mission statement has remained the same since day one, and that's to inform, educate, and entertain while reflecting the needs, desires, and diversity of our community. And it's the perfect mission statement. I feel like Kodo's founders really put some thought into it and came up with something that would withstand the test of time, and the core values are still there. So now it's up to us, Kodo's current stewards, to adapt and reinterpret that mission with a modern lens without losing sight of those core values and what made the mission statement effective from the beginning. And, you know, obviously the changes have been vast in societal, technological, and industry trends. Those have changed significantly, but the heart of Kodo, I feel, is the same, and that's to entertain as the voice of the valley through music and freedom of expression, and to keep people safe with information about emergency news and potentially life-saving PSAs, and to educate the local community about issues that matter through our public access opportunities and through our award-winning local news department. So, besides that, you know, the station has grown obviously since 1975. Our staff is bigger. We have the very best team, and that team is Ben, Julia, Claybrook, Luis, Mason, and Mackenzie. And our board of directors is phenomenal. We have Laura, Jean, Mark, Kathleen, Keiko, Pat, Megan, Gray, and Brian. And we work really well together. So the energy of the team as a whole is nothing short of inspiring for me. And I'm lucky to have the support of these people, and so is Kodo. And we have done some significant projects in the past years. You know, we expanded our signal to include other areas of the county and the region. So there's, of course, the signal in Norwood, and then we just went online with Ouray County, serving the communities of Ridgeway and Ouray. And our newsroom now includes a news director, a full-time reporter who covers rural news outside of Telluride and Mountain Village, and a Spanish language news reporter. And so the introduction of Spanish language news has been mission critical, in my opinion. And it's to reflect the needs, desires, and diversity of our community. So that's been a really important, I think, addition in recent years. And we have a bigger budget. I feel like we have more rules to follow. But like I said before, we know our role in this community and our worth and our value. And we're proud we were able to prove it when it mattered most. And honestly, you would have to ask Ben Kerr more about this, because it really does seem to me that like the playful spirit of Kodo still exists, and we've done our best to carry on those beloved traditions that everyone loves and nurture Kodo as like a hub and the voice of the people and a place where all people are welcome. And I feel like we've stayed true to our roots for quite some time. So
perfect. And I have a check that little footnote you introduced with Ben Kerr. Maybe before the summer season, we can do another podcast, this time also featuring
that. Oh, that would be awesome. He would be so good. Yeah.
Of course he would. Okay, finally, Carol, if you were tasked to capture Kodo's magic in a bottle, what would the note inside read?
Okay, so I threw this out to my coworkers a couple minutes ago, and Julia's not here, unfortunately, but the rest of them all answered. So I'll start with Mason, who is our newest staff member. He's a reporter here. He asked where the bottle is going. Is it going out to sea? Is it like, where's the bottle going? Which is neither here nor there. So we'll move on to Luis, who is our Spanish language news reporter and Latino community outreach coordinator. And he said, have a cup of the purple Kool-Aid. Claybrook Penn said, the magic is in the people. Ben, who always has to one-up us, said, when you need a friend, turn on the radio. And I suppose mine would probably be, come in, you belong here.
Perfect. Thank you. This has been Susan D. Brock, delighted to be speaking with the Executive Director of KOTO, Telluride Independent Radio Station. And again, we're being dependent on the community. There is a Gonzo Winter Concert Series coming up at the historic Sheridan Opera House, event. That program features pop indie soul sounds of Oh He Dead. So be there at 7 a.m.
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, my God, 7 p.m. Showtime is 8 p.m. You could be there at 7 a.m. to beat the
line. Maybe the next morning. Oh, thank you so much, Susan. This has been fun. Thank you so much for including Kodo.
For me, too. Thank you again, Kara.
Okay. Bye-bye.